theater, maybe you're somewhere else and you're kind of like, I don't know what to say to this person. John chapter 4 really gives a good treatment of how we ought to interact with people that we just don't know where they stand. And so I want you to imagine right now that you are standing on the edge of a huge, wide, deep chasm. Okay, can you do that? Way, 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 way over there is the other side, and it's deep, and you've got a friend who is on the other side that you need to rescue. Now, you've got some tools. You've got some small string. You've got some small rope. Then you've got thick, heavy rope, a bow and arrow, and some boards to walk on. Now, one of you engineering types, tell me, what are you going to do? As soon as I said engineering types, Sue Fritz looks at Bill. Bill, what are you going to do? You're not going to do your friend very much good if you're not paying attention, right? So let me remind you, you're on this wide chasm. It's very deep. You've got a friend on the other side. You have a couple of tools, a few tools. You've got some small string, some small rope, some thick rope. Then you've got a bow and arrow and some boards to walk on. What are you going to do? Steve, you're what? We're going to give Bill another chance. Bill, you want another chance? Okay, so you're going to shoot the bow and arrow over with the thin string tied to it, with the smaller rope tied to the string, so your friend pulls over the smaller the smaller rope, hooked onto the heavy rope, okay? And then probably you're going to make two ropes before it's over with. Then what you going to do, Bill? You going to go hand over hand? You don't like heights. So you've got one other tool. There you go. You're going to build a bridge, right? You're going to tie them off one at a time. Okay. So the way you're going to rescue your friend is you're going to step by step by step, one step at a time, lay a foundation, right? And I think that that's what it is when we share Christ with other people. What I've noticed is, you know, sometimes we try to take a one-size-fits-all. We meet, say, a religious person, but then we meet someone maybe in another section who knows nothing about Jesus Christ, and we try to do the same thing, and it doesn't work. And we forget that we need to build step by step, stage by stage. Where are they in their knowledge of God? Where are they in their knowledge of sin and of Jesus Christ? And step by step, stage by stage, build a bridge to draw them to Christ. That's what I see Jesus Christ doing here in John chapter 4. It's a masterful presentation of the gospel. What I want you to see, though, I could come to this passage and I could talk to you in certain ways. There are many ways to approach this passage. Well, the way I want to approach it tonight is to talk about it from the standpoint of how we evangelize. How do we share Christ? And as I look at this, Jesus Christ meets up with this woman. She's a Samaritan. She's hated by the Jewish people. She is an outcast. She's an immoral woman. And he approaches it way different than the way he approached Nicodemus just one chapter earlier. In John 3, he's talking to a Pharisee. In John 4, he's talking to a prostitute. So she needs a new life. She needs a change. There is a chasm between her and God. And what I notice Jesus doing is it's like he shoots the arrow first with the little string. And then the next stage, he kind of gets the rope over. And then the next stage, he starts to build this bridge. And so let me just show you the stages from this passage. And what I want to encourage you with, number one, is that if you're not a believer tonight, you can trust that the Lord is going to build stages so that you can come to know him if you have a heart that is open to him. The Holy Spirit wants you to come to Christ. It's an open invitation. But then I want you to see it from the standpoint, if you're a believer, you know, this is how we share the gospel. So let's open with prayer, and let's jump right in. Father, we thank you so much for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came and is our redemption, who took our sins. Father, I pray that we as believers would be so filled with joy and love for Christ that we can't help but talk about Jesus with those around us. And Father, I pray that we wouldn't just step in and just start talking, but that we would listen and watch who it is that we're talking with, interact with them, and bring Jesus in a way that is understandable to them and that is used by you. Help us to be led by the Spirit. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I want you to see four stages to getting this woman from the chasm, from one side of the chasm, back to God. Number one, stage one, she recognized Jesus as an ordinary Jewish man. I see this in verses 7 through 9. John chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read it. And by the way, verses 1 through 6, Jesus is traveling with his disciples. He comes, he sits at Jacob's well. Verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. When the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Now, verses 3 through 5, Jesus is headed from Judea to Galilee. He's heading north. And right between Judea and Galilee lay what? Samaria. And the Jews hated Samaritans. As a matter of fact, you know what the Jewish people said about Samaritans? They said, "Samaritans fuel the fires of hell." They hated Samaritans. You talk about racism? I mean, these are religious people saying, we want them to go to hell. That's what we want. So the Samaritans were literally half-breeds. They were half Jew, half Gentile. Jews typically would go around Samaria. I think most of you are aware of that, rather than go right through Samaria. Jesus didn't do that. He knows that he needs to go through Samaria because there's a woman who needs to hear the gospel. And this is one of our first principles, folks. You know what? We need to be where unbelievers are. You know, I think I mentioned it to you a few weeks back that I asked the Lord to give me an opportunity to share Christ, and as I'm driving back to church from downtown, a hospital visit, I'm on my way home, and I'm thinking, you know, this is the last opportunity I've got before I get to church. I want to see an unbeliever. And I'm going by this gas station, and it's not in a really good spot of town. And I'm like, I don't want to stop there. I really don't want to stop at this place because this is a really unsavory spot of town. But you know what? It was like the Lord said, "Guess what? You said you wanted to talk to somebody. You said you wanted to share Christ's love with somebody. You better stop at that gas station." And so I had a little bit of an opportunity in that gas station. But here's what Jesus is doing. He's, instead of going around Samaria, he's going right through Samaria. We need to go out of the way to be around people who need Christ. Now, it's a very historic location. They are at Jacob's well, verse 6. They're sitting near Mount Gerizim, where at one time the temple of the Samaritans had stood, and they're sitting by Jacob's well. It was the well of the great patriarch. Jesus takes a seat, and he awaits for the arrival of this woman. She arrives, and Jesus shocks her. How does he shock her? What does he do? Number one, he talks to her. Right? What's a Jewish man talking to a Samaritan woman? You want to get somebody to listen to you about Jesus Christ? Shock them. Do something to pique their curiosity. Do something to get them to think, "Oh, now that's a little out of the ordinary." Or that's something that, "Oh, I want to be interested in that." And so he talks to her and he says, "Give me a drink." And her initial impression of Jesus is that he's just a Jewish man like all of the rest. He's probably a Samaritan hater, according to what she thinks. And that's why she says in verse 9, how is it that you, being a Jew, talk to me, a Samaritan, also a woman? Jews don't ask favors from Samaritans. Men don't talk to women in public in this society. So to her, she's just thinking he's just a Jewish man. That's it. He's certainly not the Messiah. He's certainly not the Son of God. He's certainly not anything special. And she's not curious necessarily about who he is yet, but she's curious as to why he's talking to her. So it's kind of like a hook. He's just shot the bow, so to speak. And that first small string Jesus uses to build a bridge over her curiosity, and that's the first step. And Jesus was always discussing spiritual things with people. He was always engaging in these two-way conversations with people. He fostered questions. He engaged people's minds. He asked questions. He answered questions. And we often want a one-way conversation as believers. Sometimes we have to be careful that we don't think that as Christians we get to do all the talking. Have you noticed that we can do that? I've got the gospel, and you need to hear it. And I want you to hear every single point of the gospel. And yeah, you can ask a few questions if they're pertinent, but I really don't want to hear what's going on in your life and what's going on in your mind and your disagreement with what I have to say. And that's not the way Jesus did it. He was always interacting. That's how you get real conversations going, is you get real interaction going with people. And so I see him starting this conversation with this lady, and he's getting real conversation. You know, may God grant you and I this week real conversations with needy unbelievers. May God grant that to you. May he grant it to me, that we would have these kinds of conversations. And when I look at John 3, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and John 4, I get the impression that discussion is an honest part of evangelism. An honest part. But anyway, to her, Jesus is just an ordinary man. Now, stage two, here's where Jesus sends more than just a string across. He sends a rope. He moves her from understanding that he was just a Jewish man to now he's a great man. Look at verses 10 through 15. She says, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink? Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. Now, verse 10, he's going to take her deeper. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Whoa, now her interest has to be really like, what? He's saying that he's more than a Jewish man. He's now saying that he can do something more. He can give me living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? So she's asking these questions. Are you greater than our father Jacob? You see what she's saying now? Maybe he's saying that he's more than just a Jewish man. Maybe he's saying that he's greater than Jacob. And if you're greater than Jacob, that means you're greater than one of the patriarchs of Israel. That means this guy is saying he's a great man. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. She had to be just like, either this guy's a loony or he's a great man. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And she's missing the point, and yet she's hitting around the point. To her, she's thinking, well, I have to come out here in the morning, and I have to come out here maybe at noon, and I have to come out here at night every single day to draw water out of this well, and I'm kind of tired of it. And this guy says he has living water, that he can give it to me so that I won't have to come out here and get more water. And she's confused. But notice something. Jesus fills her in on the living water. She's wondering if he's greater than Jacob. He talks about living water, but her respect in verse 15 goes up a notch. Do you notice that in verse 15? She's not just talking to a man. She's talking now, she says, sir. Sir, the word is kyrios. Lord. Something about the way Jesus said it and the Spirit of God was working in her. She saw now that Jesus was not just an ordinary man. He was a great man, greater than Jacob. And I tell you, that's probably where most people sit with Jesus today. He's just an ordinary man or just a great man. Larry King. Remember Larry King? Television talk show host. He was asked from who from history he would like to most interview. And his answer was, I would like to interview Jesus Christ. And they said, well, why would you like to interview Jesus Christ? And what question would you ask of Jesus Christ? And his comment was very insightful on one level. He said, I would like to ask Jesus if he was indeed born of a virgin. Because if he was born of a virgin, that would answer the question and would define the question that defines all of history. So you answer that question of who Jesus is, and you really define all of history. And so when you're interacting with people and you're getting these discussions, shouldn't it center around Jesus Christ? Shouldn't it center, we're going to see in a moment, around who that person is, this person that he's talking to? Pretty soon he's going to talk about her. So he's talking about himself, who Jesus is. Now he's going to talk in turn about who she is. Isn't that kind of where it should all center? So what's going on in your life right now? How's your marriage? You like your job? Do you know how many conversations you can start by just saying, hey, so do you like your job? I've had some conversations where I'll just walk up to a teller. Or I'll walk up to somebody in the a cashier and I'll say, as they're ringing it up, so do you like your job? And you know, they never know quite how to answer that question. You know why? Because somebody might be listening. The boss might be listening. And they have to say, oh, I love my job. No, just start asking them questions. Just start interacting. Do you like your job? How's your day going? Mm-hmm. Just start asking questions about them. And start giving curious thoughts about who Jesus Christ is. So Jesus has shot the string across the chasm. He has shot the rope. She's now pulling the rope across the chasm. And now she says, not only is he a Jewish man, not only is he a great Jewish man, now verses 16 through 18, he's a prophet. Let's read verse 16. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband, and come here. He's setting her up, right? Jesus can do that because he knows everything. Go, call your husband, and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. Imagine how her eyes just went, what? How does this guy know? He's right. I don't have a husband right now. I've had five husbands, and right now I've got to live in. Now, I always laugh at verse 19. I don't know why, I just do. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. I don't know, that just strikes me funny. Sir, I think you're a prophet. So all at once, he's not the Jewish man anymore. Not only is he the great man, now he's a prophet. Do you see how he's pulling her in slowly but surely for her to see who he is? And now, not only is he showing who he is, he's showing who she is. She's a great sinner, just like the rest of us. And he's watching and he's showing her who she is. And her shame, I find, is written all over verse 17. Some would say it's kind of cruel for Jesus to bring up her life. She had some major problems, no question about it. In verse 17, I see her shame because Jesus tells her to get her husband. And she gives a very short, elusive answer. Do you know what her answer is? I don't have a husband. Now, the full answer would be, Well, see, hate to tell you this, but right now I'm not married, but I've been married 5 times, and I'm kind of messed up, and I just, she doesn't say that. No, I don't have a husband. I see some shame here. She didn't say, I used to be married. She didn't say, I'm living with a man. She didn't want that information to be out because she was ashamed of it, and she knew that it was sin. And what is Jesus doing by talking to her about what hurts her most? He's striking at the heart of her conscience. And because it's only when a person sees how sinful they really are that they see how much they need who Jesus is. So all the way along, Jesus is shooting the rope. He's shooting. Now he's laying down some planks. And he's laying this foundation so that she's going to be ready to receive Christ. So the question I have for you is, do you see how sinful you really are? There's information about your life maybe that you wouldn't want to get out, and you're ashamed of it, and it's sin. And maybe you're like this woman, and truth of the matter is we're all like this woman. There is information about all of us that we'd say, I would not want you to have seen me in this moment. I would not want you to have seen me in my former life. I would not want you to see me on my worst days, because I am a sinner. And for as ashamed as you are of your sin, you ought to be glad that Jesus took the time to deal with this woman, because you know what? If Jesus is going to deal with this woman, he'll deal with you as well. He'll offer himself to you. And you're never ready to receive Christ until you see what a sinner you are. So notice what this woman didn't do when Jesus put his finger on her sin. She didn't deny it. She didn't say, I kind of had a bad marriage at the start, and he was kind of mean to me, and it was all his fault, and all of that stuff. And, you know, if you'd known my first husbands, you would have known why. No excuses, no hint of denial or placing the blame on anybody else. She just says, verse 19, you know what, I think you're a prophet because you're talking pretty straight. She reaches the next level of her understanding. Now we go on to the next stage. Stage 4, verses 20 through 26. Let's read. She changes the subject. She says, well, now if he's a prophet, I'm going to get on to spiritual things. She's almost changing the subject. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Okay, there was this long-standing debate, by the way, between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews said you had to worship at Jerusalem. The Samaritans set up a temple at Mount Gerizim, and she's saying, who's right? And Jesus is wiping that aside, saying, hey, listen, from here on out, everybody who worships is going to worship in spirit and in truth. It's irrelevant now. The last board of the bridge is being laid. Let's read it. Verse 21, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now look at what the woman says. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. She's kind of trying to slough off again. She's saying, well, you know, when Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus, verse 26, lays down the last board, and he said to her, I who speak to you am he. Now she knows. She's talking to Messiah. Do you see how Jesus has slowly but surely built her understanding? And I think that this is what we need to do. And Lord willing, in weeks to come, we're gonna continue to deal with this passage. And we're going to continue to see what happens next with this lady. But what I want you to know is she believed in Christ. We see that later on in the passage. But she believed in Christ because he laid this foundation. And sometimes we want to just step into somebody's, into that elevator, and we just want to drop the gospel and pfft, that's it. Hey, why don't you find out who you're talking to first? Why don't you find out what they're thinking? Why don't you find out their worldview? Why don't you find out what they need? Why don't you find out the hurts of their hearts the way Jesus did here? Why don't you address that? Why don't you offer them something of eternal value? Why don't you meet their needs first. And the last bridge of the board is Jesus just saying, I'm the Messiah. And so stage four here is verse 26, Jesus is the Messiah. So notice, and later on in John 4, we find out she admits he's the Messiah. So notice, she started out thinking that Jesus was just a Jewish man. Then she went to thinking he was a great man. Then she went to thinking he was a prophet. And now she knows he's the Messiah. How did she get there? One step at a time. Holy Spirit, guided, driven, thoughtful presentation, sensitive to who she is, sensitive to what the next step is. Is that how you share Christ? Or do you just throw it out there and hope they get it? I want you to think for a second. Put yourself in her shoes. She's an outcast. She is obviously a slave to the flesh. She's been used. She's obviously searching for something. Her heart is broken. After her life, she's probably thinking there's no way that she can ever be made right with God. And yet here the Messiah steps in with this offer, and you have to believe that her hope meter went through the ceiling. Maybe I can be made right with God. He said, he's got living water. So I want you to bow your heads for a moment. And I just want to talk to you that maybe you have felt like you can never get right with God. Well, guess what? You can. The Lord Jesus Christ, if he can save a woman who has had five husbands and one live-in, can certainly save you. The Lord Jesus Christ is interested in building one step after another of your understanding and your acceptance of who Jesus is. He's brought you here for a reason. Will you open your life and invite him in and receive him personally as your Savior tonight? And then if you've already done that, if you do that tonight, by the way, I'd like you to come and talk to me because I'd like to share with you how you can grow. But if you've done that, let me ask you, are you sharing Jesus Christ with people around you? Are you doing it with sensitivity? Are you doing it with a directness? Are you doing it to build a foundation? Are you doing it with an understanding of, hey, this is the person I'm talking to, and this is what they believe, and these are the steps that are going to need to happen before they can believe in Christ? We all meet different people in different situations. Some of the people we meet are educated unbelievers. Some are religious unbelievers. Some are down and outers. Others are people at work who are caustic and cynical. Some are immoral. Some are righteous in their own eyes. Hey, do you understand who you're talking to? Build one step at a time until they see Jesus, the Messiah. Father, I thank you for Jesus, who cares about sinners like us. Father, I thank you that you built into our hearts the understanding it would take to receive Jesus. And I pray that you would use us as instruments to show Jesus Christ the living water. He has that living water to give us that will eternally quench the thirst of our souls. Lord, there are thirsty people here tonight. Quench the thirst of every soul tonight. And help us to take that living water out into this world. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.